Well, hello, everyone. Here we are. This is Chuck Gregory, and this is the new American Dream Radio Show, streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And it's listener-supported radio, so please be sure to head on over there to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. Look for that donation button, the studio support, and hey, use it! They deserve your support. A little delayed echo there. Excuse me, folks. All right. So, as usual, I start off with a song. So, here we go. Squalls out on the Gulf Stream. Big storm coming soon. Passed out in my hammock. God, I slept till way past noon. Stood up and tried to focus, hoped I wouldn't have to move far. Sure could use a Bloody Mary, so I stumbled over to Lou's backyard. And now I must confess, I could use some rest. I can't run at this pace very long. Yes, it's quite insane. I think I hurt my brain, but it cleaned me out, and then I can go on. Well, the wind's blowing harder now, 50 knots or thereabouts. There's white caps on the ocean, and I'm watching for water sprout. Time to close the shutters, time to go inside. In a week I'll be in Gayferry. Hell, that's a mighty long airplane ride. And now I must confess, I could use some rest. Can't run at this pace very long. Yes, it's quite insane. I think I hurt my brain, but it cleaned me out. And then I can go on. Well, I figured it was appropriate to do a little something about hurricanes since we just dodged one. Well, it dodged us, I guess, would be more more accurate, right? But, you know, that thing, it just beat the heck out of the Bahamas. And that's only about 70 miles east of where I live, so that's really too close. But somebody came up with a pretty cool rant and put it up on Facebook this week, and I'm going to have to read this to you because I thought it was pretty close to what we've been going through here in South Florida. I know this thing devastated the Bahamas. Y'all in for a wild ride, but posted this to add some levity. Worst hurricane ever. Been waiting for it to arrive for like a month now. At first, we're told it's nothing to worry about. Then they said, pay attention. It could be something. Then we're told it's coming. Well, not coming. Not could be coming. Probably coming. Definitely coming. Not coming. Small chance it's coming. It's shifted. Shifted back. Shifted again. It's totally coming. Not coming. No. Then they said, well, we just don't know. Don't evacuate. Don't evacuate. You're going to flood? Yeah, might get some rain. Might not get any rain. Might get nothing. We just don't know. It's a tropical storm. Cat 1, Cat 2, Cat 3, Cat 4, Cat 5. Oh, now it's a turbo Cat 5, and it's the biggest storm ever, and you're in the cone. But, oh, don't worry. You're out of the cone, but you still better worry. We moved the cone. If you're in the cone, you could be out of the cone. If you're out of the cone, you could really be in the cone. Well, we just don't know. It's going to strike South Florida, Central Florida, the Gulf Coast, the North Coast, the West Coast, the South Coast, North Florida, South Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Might eventually destroy icebergs in Greenland and kill four-leaf clovers in Ireland. We just don't know. You might get a breeze, or it might blow your house off its foundation. Might not. Could, maybe, probably, big, small chance, big chance, little chance. We just don't know. Everybody went out and bought out the stores, all the bread, all the water, anything like that all gone out of the stores, and you want to find a D-cell, well, don't try it in South Florida. But, yeah, then everybody just ended up, nothing much happened, and we ate all the snacks that we bought. So, that's life in South Florida. And now for something completely different, I am going to play an interview earlier with Azura Crispino, our prison activist, and, well, one of our prison activists. And this is a pretty interesting follow-up to last month's. And here she goes.
Hello, New American Dream listeners. This is Azura Crispino with Prison Abolition Prisoner Support. I want to start with a quick update. Some of you may have been following the situation with Chelsea Manning, who is a really amazing Army intelligence analyst who had leaked the collateral murder WikiLeaks video and has now been subpoenaed by the grand jury. She is refusing to testify against Julian Assange and is being held for that. We can now add hacker and activist Jeremy Hammond to the list of people who are also refusing the grand jury subpoena. Jeremy only has 2 months left on his 8-year sentence in Bureau of Prisons, but he has just been transferred to the Eastern District Court of Virginia and is being summoned to testify against Assange and is also refusing. So that's an interesting developing story. But speaking of trans prisoners who are fighting the system, today I have on the line Charisma Garcia. So last month I mentioned to you that Charisma was going to be getting out. She is out and is going to be joining me on this month's segment. Thank you so much, Charisma. Welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. Hello, everybody.
Hi. So my first question to you was if you could just tell the audience a little bit of how we met and how important it's been to you that we've had this correspondence. And I'm not asking the question so that you can flatter me. I'm trying to make people understand how important prisoner letter writing is.
Well, we met about 8 years ago. I was writing different pen pal sites asking for assistance because trans people in prison don't get too much assistance or help from people. And you contacted me and started writing me in advocacy ways, and we became friends. And since we became friends, you know, I really, it's been a blessing. I've had no support from anybody other than yourself, because a lot of people have turned me down for being trans. The Department of Corrections just doesn't help people at all when they're transgender for any type of rehabilitation issues. So it was extremely important to me to have gotten some support from somebody, which was you, and I appreciate that.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your current struggles against the Nevada Department of Corrections. If you could please start with your lawsuit, and then we'll get to the most recent struggle after that.
Okay, well, there's a couple of different lawsuits, actually. The first lawsuit I actually settled against the Department of Corrections. I was sexually assaulted by an officer. His name was Scott Olchin. He did some inappropriate things to me. He was fired. He wasn't fired. He was fired, but he didn't have charges pressed against him as long as he resigned. The state did settle that, and that was in 2010. And since then, I have an ongoing litigation for trans treatment, discrimination every day, failure to provide.
Let me pause you a second. But you never, although you won the lawsuit against that correctional officer, you have not received any money. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I won a $60,000 or $60,500 judgment against the officer, but because he was fired from the state of Nevada wasn't liable for that particular money. It was in an individual capacity. So since he was fired, now I have no way to get a hold of him. I have no way to find him. I can't garnish his wages, but he's in debt to me $60,000. And you know, it's kind of screwed up, but, you know, $60,000 for a sexual abuse is very minor, and he's just getting away with it.
Well, not to mention that I find it ridiculous that the Nevada Department of Corrections claims that he's only individually culpable versus them being responsible. I know that you've told us that you have the footage of the assault, you know, on camera, and yet they refuse to press charges or say that they, as a system, were liable, just that, oh, he's only liable as an individual.
That's correct. I do have the footage on a DVD. It was provided to me. The state also, when they removed themselves from the case, they also said that they would allow me and they'd give me all evidence to move forward against the officer or the ex-officer. And when I contacted the district attorney in Clark County, they told me that they won't press charges against a person unless the inspector general, which is employed by the Department of Corrections, decides to press the charges, and they chose to not press charges against this person.
I am so sorry both for what happened initially and the state's continued victimization of you. Please continue telling us about the other lawsuit.
Well, the other lawsuit was filed a few years ago, and it was dealing with discrimination every day. Every day I had to deal with officers and staff members and wardens calling me he, telling me I'm a man in a man's prison when I asked them to use female pronouns, telling me to put my big boy pants on and take my panties off. I never received proper medical care. They have a rule for the Department of Corrections and NDOC that states any progressive treatment for transgender people is not allowed. So they limit you to the point of when you were incarcerated. Luckily for me, I was on hormones prior to incarceration, so I was able to maintain getting hormones at a certain level, but I wasn't checked for my hormone levels. I wasn't sent to endocrinologist. I didn't have regular checkups, blood drawn for any of these things. It's a really tough time in there for trans people.
And were you receiving the exact same level of hormones that you got when you were initially incarcerated?
Yes. They actually lessened it, but they lessened it without checking my blood levels. The last 2 months I was in prison is when they actually started testing my hormone levels. But prior to that, no, they didn't bother testing them. They just didn't. When I'd ask for progressive treatment or I'd ask for them to address my hormone issues or give me surgeries that would resolve my gender dysphoria, they denied it with simple answers as no, we don't provide that. It's not allowed by the law in the state of Nevada. So at this point, I have, I'm being represented by Lisa Rasmussen law firm because she knows that my rights are being violated. We're being violated. And further, other trans people's rights are now being violated. Thank God I'm out of there.
And I just want to make sure that listeners understand. So Charisma had the resources to be on hormones. Most trans women do not if they're arrested and then convicted and go to prison. But even though she had a prescription for a certain level of hormones, right, which over the years of incarceration should have been increased most likely, or if she had received surgery, they could have saved money that way because then she wouldn't have needed to be on the same level of hormones. Instead, they just decreased your hormones. Now, you pretty much think that that was just because they didn't want to spend the money to do the bare minimum that they were supposed to by keeping you on the same level of hormones that you should have been on.
That's absolutely correct. I just think that no matter what request I made to them about, you know, transitioning and issues like that, even the doctors would tell me, sir, Mr. Garcia, you're a man in a man's prison and you're lucky you're getting this. The doctors there, they're not even trained specialists in transgender treatment. They're just general practitioners. So Yeah, it's a very difficult thing for trans people to get any type of help, whether it be people wanting to associate with them as pen pals, or, you know, people helping them financially, which is extremely hard for trans people. Trans people get abused and used every day in the Department of Corrections by staff and inmates alike because they're trans and they're looked down on. And we're supposed to be, excuse my language, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, but we're supposed to be the bitches in prison, you know, four girls per 3 yards. There's four or five girls in prisons full of 180 or 1800 men. Excuse me. It's tough.
I'm so sorry. Well, let's talk about something slightly happier.
Okay.
So you met someone special?
I did. His name is Ryder. He's an amazing person. We're supposed to get married real soon. I love him with all my heart. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So this is an issue that's near and dear to my heart because I married my sweetheart in July, and the state of Ohio Department of Corrections is currently refusing to acknowledge that our marriage is legal. So they've been refusing us family visits, and you're having a somewhat similar situation with attempting to get married to Ryder. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, he was housed at Northern Nevada Correctional Center, and we started the process to get married. And we were just informed, he was just informed 2 days ago that he was going to be transferred to Lovelock Correctional Center, which he is there now. And one of the officers told Ryder, specifically, the reason they're transferring him out of that prison is because they don't want to deal with the trans, with Garcia, which is me, the transgender issues with marriage with him, because it'll be too public.
How far away is this new institution from where you and his family live?
He was 45 minutes away. Now he's 3 hours away.
So obviously that's going to make it harder both for you to be able to go there in person to perform the ceremony and for him to continue to get the visitation from his family.
Correct. And not to mention the fact that they charge us an umpteen amount of money for the specific wedding, because we got to pay the officers' fees to be there and licensing and everything else that comes with it. But yes.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of time. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners about your situation?
Yeah. Help me if you can. And if you can find trans prisoners to support and advocate for, please support and advocate for them. We're people. We need help. We're not common, but we're becoming common, and we just need help. Please help us. We're normal people too.
So, if you would like to help Charisma get back on her feet, please donate through the fundraiser side. Sorry, Chuck, if you can edit that out. If you would like to help Charisma get back on her feet, please donate through the fundraiser site. Charisma's New Life. We linked to it last month and we'll link to it again. And if you're interested in writing to other trans prisoners, feel free to reach out to Prison Abolition Prisoner Support or PAPS at iheartpaps.com. Also a shout out to Black and Pink, who is the queer and trans pen pal organization that introduced Charisma and I so many years ago.
And if I may thank both of you, Charisma and Azura, thank you so much for being on the New American Dream Radio Show. And it was very interesting interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back after this message. Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things, and I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm here.
Our next segment this evening will be Philip Ferrugio from Port Orange, Florida. And we're going to start off with a column he recorded earlier in the week. And that's right about now. It's called It's the Empire, Stupid.
Okay, good evening, working stiffs. I don't know when you're going to be hearing this with the hurricane coming to Florida and Chuck living in Florida, but hurricane wars. As we in Florida wait in our hopefully boarded up and sandbagged homes, the arrival of but another deadly storm, one has time to sit and ponder things. This writer lived through a major hurricane assault when Matthew trampled through Port Orange, Florida in October of 2016. We were lucky while being the unlucky neighbors in our 50-unit subdivision. As we lay on our master bedroom floor with our two frightened kittens, 100-mile-per-hour winds tore a pine tree and sent it flying through our roof. Moments earlier, I had crawled to our bedroom window, pulled down the shade, and watched the pine trees 5 yards from our townhome. They were already waving like a flag on a frigate in a storm. I turned to my wife and actually said, if one of those trees crashes into our bedroom, we'll all be dead. Lucky for us, the unlucky family, nature chose the upstairs bedroom to have the tree go flying through its ceiling. 2 hours later, after using every towel and comforter we owned to soak up the monsoon-like buckets of rain flowing down our walls and feelings, we finally evacuated. It seems every year our country has Category 4, Category 5 deadly hurricanes invading our space. Yet the infrastructure of our nation is still not up to snuff. Why? Well, half of our federal taxes goes to what the con men in Washington, both embedded in empire political parties, like to label defense spending, a.k.a. phony war spending. Keeping one soldier in Afghanistan or on one of our many bases in Iraq costs over $1 million a year. Imagine how that money could have been spent to place our power lines underground as they have in Europe. Imagine how the Army Corps of Engineers could have used some of that over $700 billion going to military spending. They could have created real flood protection for New Orleans and Houston before those monster hurricanes attacked. Regardless of whomever occupies the White House and Congress, the subject of drastically cutting military spending is synonymous to trashing motherhood. To this writer, my experience with FEMA has been a sick joke. After the hurricane in 16 destroyed our home and we had to live elsewhere for over 5 months, we begged FEMA to help us. No. Their estimators said sorry on our need for funds to supplement our shitty homeowners insurance. Did you know that our policy did not even cover spoilage from our freezer and refrigerator? Sorry, FEMA said, you don't qualify, they answered us in their rejection letter. Meanwhile, right after the hurricane, my wife began having panic attacks, which she previously never experienced in her over 50 years on Earth. She had no health coverage other than expensive and shitty hospitalization plan, another victim of the too expensive private insurance under Obamacare. We sent in claims to FEMA for reimbursement for the semi-successful acupuncture and Chinese herb treatments from my doctor of Chinese medicine. FEMA did the usual rejection and double talk to justify their action, or rather their lack of. So we had to go to Senator Nelson's office and found a gem of a young staffer who actually had the empathy for us that all elected officials should have. He contacted FEMA after their second rejection letter and put on the pressure needed. They finally rescinded their rejection and reimbursed us. Why did FEMA do what it did to us and do worse for millions of others in all these disaster areas? Well, the easy answer is they don't have the budgeting. Plain and simple, folks, FEMA has become, to a certain extent, a public relations outfit. They send out hundreds of field reps to sign people up after a disaster and then reject or underpay most of us for damages, etc. Look at Houston. FEMA could not get the proper cots needed to supply the shelters. Why? Not enough funding. Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico saw President Cheetos throwing paper towels out to a crowd when he finally took the time out to visit. As I write this, he is out playing golf while the Bahamas is destroyed and the monster approaches us. You won't hear Trump or really any of the so-called feel-your-pain Democrats coming before the cameras and demanding that this obscene military spending be substantially cut now and sent back to fund the myriad of safety nets we need here at home. Wake up, folks, and understand why many of us suffer unnecessarily. Thank you.
Well, there was a lot of content there. You know,
yeah.
I think of, why does FEMA do this? Well, my answer is simple. Because they can. They don't care about us. They only care about the people with the money. And if they can get away with something, they will.
Yeah,
welcome to
it's
the
unfortunate.
Show. I'm glad to have you here in person. Thanks for that column. And why don't you... go on a little bit.
Well, basically, the whole gist of my column was not so much about FEMA, because FEMA is, or the lack of funding for FEMA, Chuck, is directly connected to the lack of funding because of the military spending, which to me, and I hope people out there will appreciate this, there's over 1,000 wonderful issues that we all want to address. I mean, there's so many issues. But, yeah. Folks, The number one issue is this obscene military spending, which is over half of our federal tax money. The federal tax money that is taken in, half of it goes right to military spending. The soldiers get, what, $30,000, $40,000 a year? No, it's the contractors, Kellogg Brown and whatever that company is, and Halliburton's subsidiaries. I mean, and the ammunitions people. By the way, let me explain to people listening. 1934, there was a Nye Commission. There was a Senator Nye, N-Y-E. The Nye Commission was demanding from Roosevelt that the federal government take over all the ammunition, all the military weaponry manufacturing. Don't make it into private hands. Let the government take it over and do all the manufacturing of all the weapons, weapon systems and everything, tanks, you know, bazookas, bullets, everything. Because Nye knew, and his commission knew, that the armaments manufacturers sell armaments to both sides in every conflict, in every war. Like exactly. The bankers loan money to both sides. Yeah, so basically...
Yeah.
Chuck, it's the military spending. If we do not address as Americans, and it's funny because it's the ultra conservative libertarians and the socialists like myself, or they call themselves progressives, whatever, but they're socialists, they're progressives, and then you go right across through the middle and through the Republican Party, and you go to the libertarians. The libertarians and the people on the real left, we all want to see a drastic cut in the military spending. Ron Paul, when he ran for president, he wanted to see 75% cut in the military spending. 75%. Ron Paul, who's a libertarian conservative. Because he knew, as we know, that there's no need for all of this obscene military spending. It doesn't make us any safer. And maybe it would give impetus to the United States government through our Pentagon to closing these bases overseas, bringing the majority of these military personnel back home and saving us billions and billions of dollars.
Well, that's, I agree, but both the far left and the far right, are indeed aware that the military spending is a big problem. But what do we do to convince the people in the middle? Because there's more of them there. And they think this is great that we're spending all this money because it's keeping us safe.
Okay. Well, let's deal with that. I mean, first of all, the purpose of the column is to show... I'm sure there's a lot of people who vote and who support or supported all these phony wars we have, and are, like you said, they want us to be safe and have a strong defense, and then they have something happen with a hurricane or a tornado situation, and FEMA just doesn't have the money to help them, and their insurance company's not going to help them, as little as I had to sue my insurance company. I had to sue our insurance company to get them to just pay me what I deserved. You know how people always tell you, oh, you had a hurricane or you had a tornado and you had a disaster. Oh, you're going to make out. Insurance company. No, it's not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're not going to make out.
Maybe if you're the super rich, you're going to make out because you're going to somehow put her off on somebody else and get somebody to pay you. But
the point is, here's the point.
Forget about it.
Okay, but here's the point, because just to answer your question. So that's one thing. All right, somebody who is saying that they don't have any help from the government when there's a disaster, you can tell them, look, if we didn't spend all the money on the military, FEMA would have more money in their budget. Okay, that's number one.
Right.
All right. Now you look at a guy at the gym. I'm just going to give examples because that's the best way to do it. Anecdotes.
A guy at the gym
who is very strong supporter of President Trump, and he's a supporter of our war in Iraq and Afghanistan and all that baloney, very strong supporter. Then he turns to me, and we're talking, and he says, yeah, my father My father's 88 years old, and he can't afford to go into a nursing home. There's a waiting list, and he's really and I said, is he on Medicaid? He says, well, he has to get rid of whatever money he had left, and then he's going to go on to Medicaid. And I said to the guy, we need more money for Medicaid. We need more funding. So a guy like your father wouldn't have to even worry, as soon as he's in need, he goes right into a nursing facility. But because of the funding problems, the government just doesn't have the money for all this. So that's another answer to people that defend this obscene, military spending.
The thing is, Philip,
it just has to be done. Yeah,
it does have to be done. But we've got the answers, but I don't know how we get people to understand and believe the answers. They're not willing to listen.
Well, that's always been the case. I mean, before the Iraq invasion, we were very much, some of us, we were very, it was hard to go out and speak at that time because the overwhelming majority of the public, I shouldn't say overwhelming, but a lot of the public believed what Bush and Cheney were, telling everybody.
Right.
And that if we went out there and said that we shouldn't invade Iraq and attack Iraq, then they would tell us that, we were supporting terrorists, and that's how bad it was at that time. So to get around that, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. But I think when you talk about money to people, it rings home. Something about money or the loss of money or the spending of money, I think that really gets to everybody.
Yeah, so that does seem to wake some people up.
Right, so the easiest way to make an argument that I'm making is to just explain to people, you do know it costs over $1 million a year to keep a soldier in Afghanistan? Over $1 million a year. The soldier gets $30,000 or $40,000. It's ridiculous, all the money that we're spending. You know what an Apache helicopter cost? I've asked people, and I'm going to ask you. Do you know the answer? How much do you think an Apache helicopter costs?
I do not know.
Well, just give me how many millions?
Billions. I don't know how many.
Well, an Apache helicopter costs $55 million.
That's all?
That's all.
I thought it was more than that.
No, $55 million for one helicopter. I mean, during Vietnam, a Huey helicopter, what they call the Huey, cost $1 million.
Wow.
So every time a Huey got shot down by the Viet Cong, Bell helicopter had another one sent over to to Washington, to the Pentagon, and at the cost of $1 million. Now, if the Pentagon would have owned Bell helicopter and manufactured their own helicopter, maybe it would have cost $500,000. Who knows? But the point is, Apache helicopter, $55 million. Soldier in Afghanistan, over $1 million a year. So, if you talk figures with people, you talk dollars and cents, I think they're gonna they can wake up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it is. I mean, very, very frustrating, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I think we've got to go beyond that and get their mindset. We have to get them to understand that these things are not really protecting us. If anything, they're making us less safe.
Well, that's true. That's true. Now, to me, the answer, to answer your question, how do we get people to... We have to focus on the young people. When I say young people, I would say college and lower. College age and lower. That's the age demographic. That's who we have to try to reach with my writing and others with their writing and speaking.
Yeah.
Talk to the young. Now, I tried to get into the local high school political science classes. Huh.
And
how did that work out? Well, they wouldn't have me.
Yeah, I
mean,
bet.
The college had Daytona State College There was a teacher that heard about me about 10 years ago that I was on the street corners. Yeah. And he was, I guess he was kind of a liberal, and he was a nice guy. And they had a giant class of three different teachers. They shared like one big class together. And they invited me down to speak about the thing called the 25% solution. 25% solution was a grassroots thing where you cut the military spending immediately by 25% and send the money back to the cities and states according to how much tax money that they sent to the federal government. That's how much they would get back. You know, 25% of that money would go back to them to use as they wanted. So when I spoke at my city council and I gave them the proposition what the city can do by sending a letter, you know, to the federal government, I told them, I said, going by the tax records that I have gotten, the people in the city of Port Orange, if 25% of all our federal tax money was sent back to Port Orange, it would be $70 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could do a lot with $70 million a year.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's just an example. And so I spoke to the kids at the college, and I was very well received, and they never invited me back. And I think they were told not to have me back. I think maybe somebody complained. This is about 8, 9, 10 years ago. They didn't want the kids to hear about the options that are out there. So it's same with the electoral system, Chuck. You got Twiddledee and Twiddledum. Everyone has been propagandized into a box that you either go for the Republican or for the Democrat. That's it. You go for one or the other. Yep. Anything else is a wasted vote, and that's the mindset. So you want to get out of the box. You have to talk to the young people. Because the older people our age in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, I don't know. I think a lot of them just worried about their next Social Security check. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
They're not, right. Yeah, which would be higher also, by the way. If we,
yeah, right. Well, that'd
there'd be a cost of living. There would be a better cost of living increase every year if we cut this obscene, military spending and... Yeah, so I don't know what to tell you. That's the way it is.
you mentioned a few years back you were out campaigning on the street corner about this stuff. Why don't you tell our listeners about that? Because I a lot of them probably don't know about it.
Well, we invaded Iraq in March 19th of 2003, and it took us about 6 or 8 months, maybe 9 months to get together and get people. Because don't forget, at that time, it was, you were looked upon as a traitor. You were a terrorist lover if you went against the government invasion. So I'd say early 2004, we had meetings at the library, and then we got people to come every month. We got maybe 40 people, 35, 40 people. So after about 6 months of having meetings on first Saturday of the month, I organized a street corner demonstration, and we average about 25 people a week for 1 hour. During rush hour, we all would bring signs, anti-war signs, and anti-Iraq invasion, occupation signs, and all that stuff. And we would stay on that street corner, and we were out there for 4 or 5 years. And then when Obama was the candidate, when he became the candidate, most of my Democratic friends stopped coming to the corner. I mean, that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
And there was only a few of us, and then I just I just lost interest myself after Obama got elected, because it was just very futile. They didn't want to talk. If you notice, after Obama got elected, there was no anti-war movement.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Really?
None.
Really?
Yeah, because he opened change.
Yeah, right. But the wars did not go away.
Stayed. The occupation stayed, and the Afghan stuff went on. Yeah. And, of course.
And
don't forget.
And the, drone, And the drone warfare aspect increased by a huge amount.
Oh, yeah, it increased by 10 times.
Yeah,
I thought it was tenfold. But don't forget, it was under Obama and the wonderful Secretary of State Clinton that we did that dirty deed to Libya. You know, we destroyed that whole country, and that was a real disgrace. And that opened the door between the refugee crisis out of Iraq, and then with Libya, it was a major refugee crisis, and then Syria was starting. So we had Iraq, Libya, and then Syria with this refugee crisis that is so inundated Europe that the far right neo-Nazi movements in Europe are really flourishing now, and it's really scary.
Yeah.
And it's all due to the refugee crisis, because more and more of these people from these countries are coming to Europe. And I don't blame the Europeans for being perplexed. How do we handle it? But whose fault was it, Chuck? It was the United States and the British.
Yeah.
We had no business invading and occupying Iraq, and it's ridiculous.
Exactly.
That was the most.
Exactly.
That was the biggest. That was the single most horrific event, I would say, since the dropping of the atomic bombs on Japan.
We've been busy destabilizing the Middle East, well, the whole world really, because South America too, and Africa, for pretty much since the middle of the 20th century. We go in, we try to force regime change, we try to we just throw over democratic governments for somebody that's in our pocket.
It's mostly geopolitical reasons for why we. I always told people if Iraq had coconut oil under the ground, we would have never ever been in Iraq. So, that's true. Yeah, and it's all about geopolitical resources.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about, and it's sad, and that's why socialism is so important. Because when you have socialism, you don't have big private interests. You might have small private businesses, but you don't have big private interests in a socialist country, and therefore you won't have these problems.
Yep. All right. Well, Philip, we have used up our time, but it was really a very interesting conversation. Thank you so much, and talk to you next time.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exile Politics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Schneider will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things, and I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, our next guest of the evening is Frank Cordero. Frank joins us each week from the Des Moines Catholic Worker. And I spoke with Frank earlier this evening, and here's what we had to say.
Hello, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank.
Yeah. Well, today it's sort of like we took a step back into summer here in Iowa.
Huh.
Yeah, we're getting over 80, mid-80s, and the humidity back with us. But it'll only be temporary. But, boy, it just reminds me how gassed I get when it's hot. So it's just a reminder of just being old, that's for sure. I I was the cook again this, and I made a great meal. Lots of beef, and then I made a cheesy mac mushroom thing and a tomato salad. Knocked them down, and they're just finishing up. So I'm taking a little break. I'm in my room, and I'd like to use my time to I let folks know that. I got a document from the state of Iowa. It's called the 2018 Iowa Department of Public Defense Annual Report. And in this government document, it talks about all the different kind of defense things happening in Iowa. And what I'm going to share with you was compiled by Nick Morton. Nick's the guy at the Known Drones National Campaign and part of the pledge, trying to get the presidential candidate to make a pledge to end armed drone warfare. So he says, here's the evidence that the Armed Drone Command Center in Des Moines, Iowa, is an ongoing human rights and war crimes site. According to the 2018 Iowa Department of Public Defense annual report, the 224th Attack Squadron flew the MQ-9 for 357 sorties, which resulted in 15 kinetic events. And fully met the combatant commander's intent. This is kind of legal military stuff. He explains, a kinetic event is an attack. And the report that the 124th fully met a commander's intent appears to mean the targets were killed. So we had 18 kills. Thus, it appears that the 124th Attack Squadron flew, on the average, about one sortie per day in fiscal 2018 and conducted a little more than one attack per week. Now, a sortie here, I think that a sortie usually involves killer drones, although it could involve more drones, depending on the mission. The point is that what happens when these guys become a sortie is as soon as they spot a target while they're looking for it, because they are an armed drone, they automatically become a platform for a sortie, meaning a kill. So what we're saying here is that later on in the report says the same group of folks put in 7,000 hours of fly time surveillance. So they put in 7,000 hours of surveillance, 350 some times during those 7,000 hours, they spotted a target. They reported the target to the command, whoever makes the decision. And 18 of those 350 times, the actual targeting drone flown out of Iowa, was given the kill command. The report said, the above all of this came from page 69, starting in 69, where it has a section devoted to the Iowa Air National Guard. I mean, I'm just stunned that this kind of information is out there in plain daylight. It's just a fiscal report for the year 2018 assessing did the drone command fulfill the three missions, which are, did it target, or did it look for targets, did it find targets, and did it kill targets? It seems that they were looking for 7,000 hours. Seems that they found a target 350 times, almost once a day. And seems like it was decided that they could be the kill, the kinetic event maker, on the ground. And that's, I'm sitting here and I'm going to try, what do we do with information like this? So try to get it out. Try to get people to look at it. And this is where it's quite stupefying for me, because I can't get anybody to look at it. I don't even think people care. It is so dense out here that most people will say, so what? Actually, most people aren't even paying attention.
Right.
But most people of moral authority, and the people I'm having the most trouble with, now this is, you know, are the liberals, the progressives, the people I've worked with for 30 years. The people who will put on a demonstration for Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but won't mention that Eddie Bloomer and I were in jail that night. The people who you do peace marches in the city, but never mention that the drone command center is operating. These are the people I've worked with, you know, the better part of my adult life.
Right.
It is the oddest thing. And they're elderly too. So, but the younger people aren't nobody. I can't seem to get anybody attention. It is driving this old man in Des Moines crazy.
Oh,
so,
I hear you.
Keep working on it.
Do that.
Yeah.
You do that.
Thanks. Chuck, it's just crazy. I mean, I'm like, a document that we use, been using as the mission statement that we got off the internet from the base, a newsletter, that's down. Can't find it.
Oh, really?
Don't have it anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. They're doing this stuff all in broad daylight, telling us, and no one cares.
Yeah.
All right. Oh,
man.
I ranted and raved enough.
That's depressing.
I'm sorry.
It's okay,
hey,
Frank.
Well, hang on.
Hey,
where are you? Are
I
you
want to know.
From the,
I want to know.
What?
I said, well, I want to know about
the,
that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh. Are you safe from the weather? Because all we hear about is the that storm out there, Dorian.
It seems to have gone way north and weakened a lot. Yeah, nothing much really happened here.
Good.
But just about 70 miles to the east of us, Grand Bahama got destroyed. Totally. I mean, the thing sat over them for 36 hours. Can you imagine a storm staying
in one
place?
It's like being in a blender for 36 hours.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
I mean, that's crazy.
All right. So, well, we'll hear more about that too, won't we?
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, Chuck. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's always a blessing to speak to Frank Cordero and hear about, you know, what's happening out there in Des Moines at the Catholic Worker and talk about some larger topics. So lucky to have him as a weekly guest. And our next guest of the evening is Abba Bird. Abba Bird is a poet. She usually comes to us from California. I think she's a little bit farther east tonight. And I'm going to try to get Abba on right now. She's had some very interesting stuff going on for us recently. And I look forward to hearing from her tonight. So here we go. Trying a different number she gave me, and hopefully this is going to work out just fine. Excuse my slow dialing. Uh-oh, that was a mistake. There we go. Okay. Okay. We're going to see how this works. Well, it's dialing.
Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Abba. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. You are on the air.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on. As usual, I look forward to sharing new pieces with you every month. And this is something I just wrote. And here we go.
Hello? Wow, I've been on hold for a long time. Could I please speak to the manager? I can't get anywhere with these phone clerks from the Philippines. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. May I place you on a brief hold, ma'am? Oh, hello? Is this the manager? It's the supervisor. The manager isn't available right now. But how can I help you, ma'am? Well, I'm calling because I'm wondering who it is that is managing this shitstorm. I can't breathe through the clampdown, the stand down, the lockdown. Private prison Satan contracts to the lowest bidder. Made it to NASDAQ. Ooh, we made it to the bottom. It's still money up there. We need protection. Bring in the military. There's big business and ammunition, bullets, guns, prisons, drug wars and borders, gun cultures and violence, orgasms. The porn industry loves it. Get these girls on film. Humiliate them with rape on screen. Sex is violence. And make it seem like they get paid for it. She's a star. Where whore porn pimps keep it all as the internet downloads billions and rape scenes a day. Oh, here comes the free speech now. It's important. Now we'll whine and cry about it. We want to rape with impunity. It's our right to violence and torture and to force to have access to your holes and bodies and bathrooms. And let us in. Let us in your shelters and your locker rooms and hell, your prisons too. You aren't immune. We've got you. The pricks and money. Ha ha, you've got the religions too. You don't stand a chance, girlfriend. Oh, and I mean, huh? You don't know? Do you? You don't know how far you've come, do you? You've come a long way, baby. All those votes and smokes and skirts and heels got you nowhere except more abortions of your soul, taxes and overtime. We own medicine, too. Big Pharma loves you. We've got you, right where we want you. You know what? You know you want it. Spit or swallow, Obama or Bush, GMO or IBS, ED or DDT, chlorinated or fluoridated, Prozac or Zoloft. The world is yours, girl, if you just do what we say. Pop that pill, pay that bill. Even if you don't, we own your phone. We hear your conversations about getting away from it all, and going to Thailand. Well, we're there too. That's our holy land. It isn't the pretty beaches or the low cost of living. It's the pimpdom, the sex trafficking. It's the girls. It's the desperate mothers and poverty-stricken we like the most. Don't you know they wanted it too? They have to eat. They have to survive. So we are there to help them. Pay them a little to get by. Get a little on the side. The diseases don't matter. There's antibiotics, the life support. I've got my doctors and paid slaves to get me out of syphilis. Spread it. Gonorrhea, I don't care. I just have to do it. I need it, and it's my right. Boys will be boys, and girls will never survive under this rigged machine. You know who your whore masters are, don't you? The New York Times, Congress, Senate, and the Federal Reserve. Remember, you did it, willingly. You picked up that paper and wrote out that check to us, the IRS and CIA. You had a choice. You could have voted Democrat or Republican, the man or the woman, NBC or CBS. It was all the same. You chose the lunatic leader, not a peep of peace, the prostitutes who pimp the pills out on the front pages, the vaccine damages never reported, not even on the back page, not even on Google. They saw to it. Censorship is the new prohibition, and ass cracks are the new presidents. It's that time again. Vote for your favorite murderer. Is it Obama, because Black Lives Matter, or Trump, because no lives matter? You take your pick. Pick your prick. Pick your bitch. You get to vote. You get your sticker. I voted. The CIA loves it. All wars are banker wars. And another question for the supervisor. Who is it that engineered that latest mass shooting? Was it Prozac, Paxil, Cymbalta, Lovex, Wellbutrin? Or was it the CIA MKUltra program, programming people to kill, the death pill? Or was it all a hoax? Every part. Which program do you watch? Is it Faux News or Con News Network, conned by Bernie or Hillary? Is it the orange depression getting you down, the locker room talk, the disrespect, that old familiar put down, the condescending drug deal gone down, sponsored by Eli Lilly? Talk to your doctor,
about side effects like insomnia, diarrhea, psychosis, strokes, impotence, heart attacks, death. Oh, and the never-ending letdown that keeps on going, down, 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 and then the down-low. Whispers wondering when the war-torn sheeple will wake up and get the fuck to work. Time to get up and turn it on. Are you ready for a shit show? Flip that remote control. Click, click, click around the 5,000 channels of shit, 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 canned spam and fake laugh. Run that track of you're going to laugh now, you're going to cry now, you're going to get out that credit card and buy now. Make that call. Make that secure payment. Do it online. Do it now. Don't wait. Order that caca. Send a prime. It's prime time. And next up, it's our feature preacher, sponsored by God and Bayer. The drug, that real estate agent, the most high, pushing books and myths to keep you waiting and waiting for heaven. Later. It'll come. It'll come later. Just past the 10 o'clock news with the shootings in the schools that only God knows how or who or where, if anyone, was ever even really there. You saw it first here on Craigslist. There was a call for actors, for secret agents to sign on the e-form that they wouldn't tell, they wouldn't whisper about the crisis actor application, or they'd be on a permanent disappeared vacation, lost without a trace, gone without a goodbye, just like those holistic doctors with suicides from two bullets in the back. Do you really believe all that? All right, the end.
Wow, but that was really powerful. It never ceases to amaze me the things that you come up with, and they're so real. At the same time, that the way that you phrase things and put all the ideas together is just amazingly creative. At the same time that you're bringing us truth, and well, I'm just really lucky to have you here.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me share all that stuff. And I can't wait to read another chapter next month.
Oh, well, yeah, me too. Listen, since we have a few minutes to chat, if you can stay on, I'd like to hear what you're doing. I know you're not home right now. What's going on?
Well, thanks for asking. I am I'm traveling right now. I'm doing a little bit of a show tour. I have some comedy shows coming up. I am working on that book that I've been sharing from, and hopefully that'll be ready soon. And I'm putting together a 100,000 Poets for Change event pretty soon for the next couple months. So I'll keep you attuned to that, and maybe you can share it out with your listeners and let them know about that program and how it works. There's a read a poem to a child last week of September. If people want to get involved, they can they can contact Chuck. And Chuck will contact me.
yeah. Well, that's great. Why don't you tell us a little about your comedy show? That's kind of the other side of things that you do.
Well, I haven't shared much comedy show. Maybe I will. And that's something that I'm working on and getting better at. I've been doing poetry for a long time, so I'm able to, I have so much work that I can share. And the comedy is a whole different thing. But one day you'll hear my comedy.
Well, I do look forward to that. But I mean, you're doing that live kind of all over, aren't you?
I am, yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you're always invited to my shows, Chuck.
Huh?
You're always invited to my shows.
Oh, I would love to see one of your shows. I really would. And I bet most of our listeners would, too. What's the schedule? What are your upcoming shows? Where are they?
I have an upcoming show at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank at the end of the month. Anyway, I got to run. I appreciate you being letting me share my work on the air, Chuck, and I'll see you guys next month, okay?
Oh, you bet. Thank you so much. And remind people one more time, the title of the book and when they're likely to be able to get a chance to actually see it?
Probably in a couple of months. It's called This Is Your New Alphabet.
All right. This is your new alphabet.
I'll have more details when it comes out.
Okay. Thank you so much, Abba.
Thanks
I really appreciate you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Okay. It's always great to have Abba on the show. I kind of had the feeling maybe I put her on the spot a little bit there. I didn't mean to, but, we're very lucky to have her on the show. And so coming up in our final half hour of the show, we'll be having Karen Kotowski. Karen joins us once a month on the first week of the month, and she's been with us for quite some time. She was, I believe, a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and she was present at the Pentagon when 9/11 went down. But what she usually shares with us is some impression of what's going on right now, because after all, we can't just all live in the past. So that'll be coming up in the next half hour. I'd like to thank once again the guests who've been on so far. We had Philip Ferrugio, Frank Cordero, and Abba Bird. It's just been really good. And of course, Azura Crispino interviewing Charisma, whose name I forget. One second here. Well, I can't find Charisma's last name, but it was a fascinating interview between Azura and Charisma, and very lucky to have Azura each month as well. So, everyone, I look forward to speaking to you for one more half-hour segment after the station break that's going to be coming up right about now.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Alert. 0917.
We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, all right. And now it's time to talk to Karen Kotowski. And I'm going to try to get her on the phone right now. And so just bear with me a second while we get her on here. And should be all set any time now. Okay, then.
Hello.
Well, hello, Karen. It's Chuck Gregory, the New American Dream radio show, and you're on the air.
All right, all right. Well, I'm going to talk about tonight. There's a lot of things that are factual and scary, like the security state, the spying, the monitoring, the Bill of Rights being frittered away, not just by the administration, but many years, decades of reduction in things that are protect our freedoms, and we're worried about it. Everybody is concerned about it, whether it's speech or association or, you know, some people are freedom to bear arms, but whatever it is. You know, privacy, it's not in the Constitution, but the right not to be spied on by your government. Well, all this is it means nothing to this current government or governments prior to it. So, you know, we're under attack, under assault. So a lot of sad things, a lot of scary things. People need to be rethinking a lot about how much they consciously and unconsciously expose about themselves, not just to... but to governments, which never forget the definition of a government is the entity that has the monopoly on the use of force. That is what government is. They have a monopoly on the use of force. The government can use force when we can't. And they can use it for, you know, you say, oh, well, the government would only do that for, you know, reasons that the people consent to, or they would only use force if it was for the good of the country. Well, of course, you know, history. It has nothing to do with that. The government uses force to maintain its power. So that's it. So there's the negative thing. Now, I'm going to move into something I am just kind of curious about. I'm going to talk about, because I'm interested, I'm always interested in politics, and I'm always interested in elections. And so I want to talk a little bit about 2020, presidential election 2020. And many people, I didn't leave the scary topic. I'm on another really, really, really scary topic, and that is who's going to be elected president in 2020. And I was reading about some of this stuff, and I started off reading about national security and the neocons in, which I've been watching very closely, the neocons in Trump's cabinet. He embraced shortly after he got elected, contrary to what he promised when he was running. But not too long after he was elected, you can call them deep staters or whatever, but certainly the neoconservative foreign policy, and neoconservatives also have a great interest in domestic policy as well, and they are statists. They are people that believe the economy can be manipulated by government, and it should be. The government, you know, wants something out of it, or wants to, you know, play that game, that they should do that. So the neocons not just interfere; they're very friendly and happy to interfere in foreign affairs and other countries, and they also interfere domestically. They are not laissez-faire economists. So anyway, he in many levels brought in neoconservative thinkers, neoconservative activists, neoconservative appointees. And of course, when I say that, the most obvious one is right now, of course, is John Bolton. And Bolton has been the national security advisor for some time, and there's been talk increasingly, especially this summer, that his days are numbered. And I hope that's true. I think it's true. Doesn't mean things are going to get better. A lot of damage has been done, and there's a lot of inertia along a very bad path. But let's say, I wanted to put this in the context of what's going to happen in 2020. We know for a fact $1 billion is going to be spent by Donald Trump and the Republican Party to re-elect Donald Trump. That's the billion. They already have $1 billion, okay? This is going to happen. There's going to be a campaign. What is his approach going to be? What is his strategy going to be? Well, he wants to have all the guys and gals that voted for Trump the first time, and that's some core Republicans, good much of the Republican Party, a lot of independent Democrats, a lot of independents in various parts of the country, farmers, Midwest, whatever. So he needs those votes. So how's he going to get all those votes, and how's he going to get the people to be interested? Now, he has converted over some people, but he's also alienated some of his own voters. He's alienated the farmers with the trade war. He's alienated the peace-loving, non-interventionist crowd that is a lot of libertarians would be interested in that, and some Republicans, not many. Some Democrats are interested in that non-interventionism. I mean, he's brought in neoconservatives. He's continued the previous policies and some of them, and accelerated some of those. Okay, so what's he going to do in 2020? What's he going to do in late 2019? Well, here's what he's going to do. Here's what he has to do. Because you don't spend $1 billion if you're not going to win. Okay, that's not how Trump looks at it. That's not how most people on a.
So yeah.
He's going to. It's going to be fun. He already sent him to Outer Mongolia instead of taking him with him to North Korea. That's huge. That's hysterically entertaining. It's just great. It's perfect tweet stuff. So anyway, he's going to publicly relieve himself and relieve us of some of the neoconservatives. Now, they will quickly turn on him if they lose power. They hated him before he brought him into the government. They were condemning him publicly. They will go back to doing that. But the problem is the Democrats are so far away from even the status neoconservatives that the Democrats can't benefit from all of these the angry things the neoconservatives will say. That will actually feed into a positive campaign platform for Trump. So he's going to get rid of the neoconservatives. Okay, what about trade war? Well, trust me. This, of course, a recession is coming. Of course, we're living on trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. And the cost of that, whether you repudiate it or try to pay it off, either way, terrible, terrible economic pain for many, many people, including a lot of Trump voters, because he got a lot of his votes not from the very rich, but from the poor and underclass, working class people in this country. And they're getting hammered. They're going to get hammered in a recession. They always do. But what's China going to do? We're fighting big time. What do you think is going to happen in 4 months? We're not going to be fighting anymore. There's half the pigs in China are dead or dying and can't be consumed. So we will be able to sell, and it'll be conveniently that we'll be able to sell our products. That's the hardest hit, I think, is agriculture. And I think agriculture, the trade war in agriculture is going to, I use this term in air quotes, spectacularly, you know, lighten up next year. With a great, you know, reversal and good terms for good, you know, Chinese has, you know, they've come to the table. His tough talk has made this. That's not what it's going to be, but that's how it's going to be sold. And I do think that American agricultural products are going to find the markets that they need conveniently in that election year. So if you're going to play hardball, 2019 and 2018 are the times to do it, not 2020. So 2020, we have this. Now, would the Chinese care? Well, the Chinese can deal with Trump. Do you think they can deal with Elizabeth Warren or Bernie or Biden? No. I mean, Biden can't even keep his words. I don't know what is going on with Biden. I mean, you know, he's been handed an opportunity and he's blowing it. So, you know, I mean, the guy, if he could tell us, could stop lying and stop forgetting and looking like he's senile, you know, that guy could have walked into the, he could beat Trump, but he's not doing that. So in China's view, it might be good to deal with a guy who doesn't pressure them. And I'm stealing this idea from a former editor at the LA Times who wrote a really interesting op-ed about why he thinks, or he supposes, he put down some reasons why China might actually prefer a second Trump term over a given stereotypical, you know, sample Democrat, not even the Democrats that we see running, because it's a very strange group, but a standard electable Democrat in 2020 is going to come down on China in ways that Trump doesn't do. And he pointed out Trump doesn't get on him about energy and carbon and garbage and human rights and not paying people. Trump doesn't even mention that. I mean, if I was China, I would say, hey, you know, we might be able to work with this guy some more, like we already are working with him. And so China has a huge, and I wouldn't call it manipulating an election, but if China comes to the trade table with some, you know, theatrically, which would be Trump and China together, but a very theatrically presented win for Trump, and prices for farmers go up. I mean, we have short memories, we farmers. You know, we think of the bad times, but when we're making money, we're happy. And it's not just that. It's not just that. It's so many other little small things that if you sit back and look, $1 billion is not just the money. He's not stupid. He wants to win more, I think, than the Democrats want to win. So it's not even about what the people want. It's about watching this very effective operator, this very effective conductor of a symphony, really, a political symphony that is drawing on so many different things that could, now this is all we don't know, but could lead to a 2020 year that reminds everybody why they like Trump and convinces other people of why they might like Trump. He only needs 51%. Okay, 52, 53, if, you know, but he needs the electoral college.
That, but, really. But
yeah, I mean, you don't. And so to top it off, I was reading a little bit about how he's spending his $1 billion. And his, you know, he was criticized by the Post they said, oh, he's never going to get elected if he just caters to his core group that voted for him before. Oh, he'll never get elected if he does that. But that's not what he's doing. He's activating those guys as volunteers to go make sure their neighbors come out. And all he has to do is provide a couple of examples where people can say, see, the guy kept his promises. And how many presidents have we had ever that you can say they kept their promises? I mean, Bush 43 got elected. He kept no promises. No promises whatsoever, and he got elected. Easy. So I'm telling you, with the incumbent advantage, with the $1 billion, with a strategy which is a very dangerous strategy that he plays with trade and with war and with threats. It's very frightening. But this has the potential to lead to a 2020 where people will say, oh, not only is this guy you know, good, and I like what I'm feeling right now, whatever that is, economy or whatever. But he kept his promises, and he's doing something. And I'm seeing things change. Now, you know, most people who watch the stock market, you know, they understand not just the market, but the underlying financial situation, but globally and in the United States. Of course, it's all connected. You know, hey, you know, bad things are going to happen. They keep recession, depression. Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. That is gonna, it's coming. I mean, what can't go on forever doesn't go on forever. And we have that problem. But if you think about even the financial stuff, the main countries in the global connection, the global banks, we aren't doing worse than Germany. We're not doing worse than China. We're not even doing worse than Russia. And they have so much gold, they can, you know, it's insane. We're not doing worse than India. So, I mean, you think about it, even if there was a global recession, I'm not sure Trump couldn't spin it, but hey, look how good we're doing. So I'm just saying, I'm not celebrating it. I'm just saying, and the Democrats could have, I think, if they, I don't follow them as closely. I'm not a Democrat. I'm interested in what they have to say, but where they have gone in their search for candidates is like the opposite of where they might have needed to go if they really believed and cared and wanted to win. Because seriously, Biden, everybody says, oh, Biden's the best guy. Biden could get elected. I'm looking at Biden. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have this race between two 72-year-old men. One of them is tough, can fight, likes to get dirty, wrestle, you know, has, you know, he says crazy things, but at least he seems conscious of what he's saying. And then you got Biden. So I don't understand that. So why, you know, oh, Biden's a safe one. Well, if you're going to play it safe, you're not going to beat Trump. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to say, and this is only a pure hope on my part, another way for Trump to completely win is to pardon Julian Assange. And I hope that he does it before Assange dies in jail, in the British jail.
Yeah, right?
US
really?
Help. Yeah, they're trying to kill him. They're destroying him mentally and physically. There's no doubt about that. And we are part of it. We are, the U.S. is part of it. But I'll tell you, that undercuts even, I mean, that undercuts the Democrats even more than anything else. I mean, things like that. The things that they ostensibly must celebrate. They need to. Now, I'm not saying the Democratic power structure cares about Assange. They'll murder him as quick as the Republicans. This isn't political. This is the state. This is
right.
The state hates guys that tell states, you know, that shares or facilitates the sharing of state secrets. They hate reporters. They hate Assange. They hate technology that exposes them and makes government transparent. It's not political. But the people who would vote Democratic have ethics. They have morality. This would be a powerful, powerful thing. Now, you know, if one of the Democrats stood up and said, hey, this is things I'm going to do. I'm going to pardon Julian Assange. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to, you know, stop the real, spending and waste on military stuff. We're not going to, you know, I'm not going to go overseas and make war everywhere and make you guys pay for that. If a Democrat actually said that would be powerful. What are they saying? Are they saying that? Not a single Democrat say anything like that, except maybe the one they won't let, the one from Hawaii, that they won't even let, you know, they're trying to kick her off of the debate.
Yeah, right.
She's the only one that's talking that. But I think average Democrats would really appreciate things like, freeing Julian Assange and just things like that, which Trump can do. And as unpredictable as he has been, and if he does, you know, I think kicking the neocons out in the public saying, hey, I got rid of these guys. He's already making all these jokes about Bolton. Bolton loves war. He wants to fight with everybody. Well, this works. Taking it from an amoral perspective, you know, dramatizing his being on the outs with the neocon message and then firing those guys later. And of course, they'll go and complain and whine and tell their stories. But this all works to get him reelected. And I'm not sure everything that he does is not aimed, you know, at how to make sure that $1 billion that he's going to spend is productively spent.
Right.
It has the expected result.
Yep. Looking for some ROI.
That's right. He wants return on investment. That's exactly right. And you know, it's really, I'll tell you, some of the things that if he kicks the neocons out, if he is open to and even advocates pardoning Assange and stopping some of this other stuff, you know, stands up for the Fourth Amendment, you know, maybe. Now, he's not doing very well at this, but that doesn't mean he won't. Because we all have short memories. I'm not going to spit on him if he does it in January or June of next year. I'm very angry now that he hasn't done it, but I won't remember how angry I am. I'll say, "Oh, great!"
Yes.
You know. And I think a lot of people.
Well, he did it. Yeah,
he did it. And you know, it will be one of those things that you can't really call fake news, even though it would be creatively faked news.
Yeah,
because he did it on purpose to get elected. But you can't deny if he does it. What are you going to say? Yeah, he did do that. So I got to give him credit. And I don't know. It's brilliant. I don't know if it'll happen. Maybe it won't. You know, he may not even make it through the campaign season. We don't know that. But I'm just saying, the things that I'm seeing, I don't think, I think what, if people really hate or unhappy with Trump, I think they need to consider that they have 5 more years. And they really ought to think about how are they going to make a difference in their lives, in their communities, in their politics, and get ready for after Trump. Because they're doing, you know, he's orchestrating this thing. And I don't see what the Democrats are doing at all to, you know, they're shooting themselves in the foot with some of their better candidates. And then you've got the guy like the little guy from El Paso, you know, Beto. I mean, mm-hmm. Beto is on his last leg of desperation, you know, so he tells people, okay, I'll force the government, I'll force you to sell your guns to, where does that money come from to buy those guns back? I mean, what is he telling? I mean, it's just not a message that I think a lot of people in this country who are average people, economically average people, politically, really are going to respond to. I don't know who he's trying to appeal to. It sounds very desperate of him. It sounds very throwaway.
Yeah.
And just one guy, I heard Buttigieg say something the other day, which was nuts. Buttigieg's not nuts, but what he said was just like, what? You know, you're quitting this early? Well, I don't understand.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, there's no unity. There's no common goal on the Democratic side. They're beating each other up, and it's kind of like, you know, if you have you know what sometimes happens in football. You know, you'll have there's one division that has just been clobbering everybody else, you know, they're so great, and it gets into the playoffs, and they beat each other so much that somebody else wins.
It seems like that's what they're doing. And you know, they do have a lack of real. They have a lack of leaders to draw from. Some of it's luck of the draw, you know, but they haven't. You know, it could be that some of these younger Democratic candidates will be good for another, you know, maybe they'll be ripe in a future election. This is all good exercise for them, and that's fine. But it's hard to say what they really stand for, because the stuff that they're saying is turning off a lot of regular Democrats, and some of it is just, I'm not going to say it's too far left, but it really is pandering to a small section of actual Democrat voters, or Greens, what used to be Greens. The Greens have their own candidates. See, that's the other thing. You know, the Greens are not being sucked into the Democratic Party. Usually, just like the Republicans try to do with the Libertarians, you know, they kind of put their arm around them during election season. Oh, we'll be good for you.
Yeah, right.
They're all a big lie. And the Greens are often treated the same way by the Democratic institutions, but they seem to be not affected. They're faced by this. They're doing their own thing. They have their own candidates, and they'll probably do exactly what they did last time: run a strong candidate who gets loyal Green votes. taking them largely from independent and Democrat voters. Libertarians, who knows what they'll do. But I think the Greens actually get more votes than Democrats than the Libertarians do, I think. It's hard to say.
I'm not sure about that, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the third parties are done, but I know the Greens are seen as like a team that can be that can work with the Democrats. You know, the Democrats will appeal to them or whatever. But I don't know. It's interesting stuff. We have to watch it. We'll be watching it in the whole year and 3 months. And
absolutely,
and, you know, there may be some. It'll be interesting for political nuts and wonks. You know, we will enjoy it. Again, as I always say with everything, at the end, you have to prepare for the worst. If you think there's
exactly.
no recession, you may think there's no fascism, there's no totalitarianism, that the Constitution is still live and kicking. You may
right.
think that, you may
right.
hope that, but you have to plan for all these things being false,
right.
that we will have a depression, that we
right.
will have no Constitution to protect our rights and to keep government.
Yeah.
Focused on preserving our rights, which is what it's supposed to do. And it's depressing in that respect, but yeah, it'll be fun to see. So that's kind of what I was thinking about.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, thank you, Karen. This was really interesting. You always bring a new perspective and make me think about things a little bit differently, and I really appreciate having you on this show.
Well, I appreciate that you appreciate it, because, you know, we may be the last two people in the country that really care what other people think.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, but I still do. All right.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank
for that.
You so much. Talk to you again next month.
Okay, sounds good. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. And everyone, that wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. I thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And remember, it's listener-supported radio, so get on over there and show them your support. Thank you and good night.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Safe.
Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the banks.